So we are on lesson 24, the wisdom of God, and I'm just going to review our key verses from 1 Corinthians 1:24, and it says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." And we talked about that the theme of this particular lesson is enlightenment. You know, and as we talk about enlightenment, we're talking about, as the name implies, turning a light on in our minds. The first part of the lesson says, there is hardly ever complete silence in our soul. God is whispering to us well nigh incessantly. Whenever the sounds of the world die out in the soul or sink low, then we hear these whisperings of God. He is always whispering to us, only we do not always hear because of the noise, hurry, and distraction which life causes as it rushes on. And this is by Frederick William Farber. And isn't that the truth? You know, God is constantly talking to us. He's constantly, but we're not hearing it because we're so full of distraction. And this world is so full of distraction. And I don't know about you, but the more I live and the more with each generation comes more distractions. With each generation comes more busyness. You know, we constantly have got distractions. There was a time when you could get away and be alone somewhere, but that's not the case anymore because you always got that cell phone with you that's beeping and, you know, and all of that. You know, you're just never alone anymore. And those things sometimes we have to learn that if we want the wisdom of God to be poured into us, we have to learn how to be quiet before the Lord, how to turn off all the distractions. You know, I described in the lesson that God, you know, we heard of the horse whisperer, but God is the human whisperer. He whispers in the deep places of us. He whispers deeper than just the physical hearing. God whispers in our soul and God whispers in our spirit the things that we need in this life to learn, to grow, even to be protected. So it's important that we take the time to hear his whispers. In the previous lessons, we talked about him being the Alpha and the Omega, and what that means. He knows your past and he knows your future. So wouldn't you want to hear from someone that knows your past, knows all about you, and also knows your future? Boy, I would want to get information from a person that knew my future, that knew what my day was going to look like, so he can tell me, especially if it's someone that loves you. You know, it's not just some random person that could care less about you, but God loves you. So wouldn't you want to get information from someone that loved you and knew your future? My goodness. So yes, we want to hear what God is saying. We want to hear what he says, and his voice is the only voice that can truly calm the human spirit. His wisdom is infused with truth that sets us free. Isn't that what his word says? Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We don't have to live in bondages, and we don't have to live plagued by all kind of things. We're plagued by our past. We're plagued by all kind of emotions and all plagued by guilt. But if we would just get quiet before him, it is amazing what he can whisper into your spirit. He'll remind you of things you've read in his word, and he'll whisper in your spirit, and you are changed, and you are set free, as his word says. We talked about some of the key things about, another key scripture we talked about was in Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 16, where the apostle wrote, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation," which we know is the Holy Spirit, "the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better." I love anything God does is for a purpose. Amen. And I love the way the scriptures kind of bring that out. It says, "I'm going to give you the spirit of wisdom so that you may know him better." And it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that," I love that "you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So it's just like when you read this scripture, there's just this list of reasons why God wants you to have his wisdom. God wants you to have it in this life. That song we're going to talk about it later, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and that part that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. We just give it away. We forfeit it. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, God is not one to force himself in your life. The Holy Spirit, someone told me the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself into your life. You have to invite the Holy Spirit to come in. And then he will come in and he will bring you the enlightenment. He will bring you the wisdom that you need in your life. You know, but first of all, we have to be able to hear. In the book, it said, a quote from Philip Brooks in the book said, be capable of more knowledge and it shall be given to you. Are you capable of knowledge? See, if you're distracted, you're not capable of knowledge. One major principle, many of you know, I work with children with autism. And one thing that I teach our staff before we can even begin to teach this child anything, he must first learn to attend. You cannot teach a child that will not attend. That's the issues that the schools have with children with autism. They're all over the classroom. They're here, they're everywhere. They're in the coat closet with the coat over their head. So how can you teach such a person? So the first lessons we have to teach that child is how to sit and how to attend, how to pay attention, how to look at me, how to see and watch what I'm doing. So the first lesson is to teach you how to attend. And the same thing happens with the spiritual realm. How can God teach you if you will not attend? If you're so busy and you're so distracted, even believers. Folks, I'm telling you, as I said, most of the word of God is written to believers. This is written to us. The scripture, we're talking about being distracted and being so caught up, even as we work for the Lord. The funny thing, even as we work for the Lord, we tend to be so distracted. You know, as I said, we've got our degree, we got our skill set, we got our talent, we got our this, we got our that, and we don't listen to him anymore because we think we've got it. But you don't, folks. Daily bread. Daily bread. When Jesus taught us to pray, what did he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Yesterday's bread is not going to keep you today. You need daily bread. So you have to understand and ask yourself this important question that you see in your notes, or be capable of more knowledge. Are you capable of more knowledge? Or are you not? That's the question that each of us must answer personally. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. We also went on to talk about God, when he spoke to Hosea, he spoke this word, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. And that's from Hosea 4:6. And man, that is a powerful verse. And a lot, we took that apart, we dissected that verse, because we talked about what priest meant. You know, if he said, I'm going to forget your priest, he's going to forget the person that is the prayer warrior, the person that should be praying over the family, the priest of the home. Because you won't obey, I'm not hearing your priest. Basically, I'm not hearing your prayer. I'm not hearing the prayers of the one that's praying for you. And I'm going to forget your priest, I'm going to forget you, and I'm going to forget your children. Oh, my goodness. See, as I said, sin is messy. When we are neglectful of wisdom, when we neglect the word of God, it is not an isolated event. It will not just hurt you. It will hurt your children and your children's children. Folks, we see it all the time. You know, we see people that grow up in dysfunctional, we have a word for it, dysfunctional family, and how they're all jacked up in their mind and all this stuff going on because it passes on. It hurts the children's children's children. So I'm telling you, when you neglect the wisdom of God, when you fail to pray, it's not just about you. You're hurting a lot of other people, the people that you say you love. You're hurting them when you don't pray. I can't emphasize that enough. This needs to be a different year for us. This needs to be a different year. This can't be, I'm going to listen, oh, wasn't that a nice word, and go home and forget it. You got to take this seriously. You will be held accountable for what you're hearing and what you're understanding. And if you just push it aside and won't listen, then this word that God spoke to the prophet Hosea becomes true for us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. And you may say, well, I haven't rejected knowledge. The fact that you don't listen to it says you rejected it. You didn't receive it. You know, if somebody leaves a bag of groceries on your door, you may pick it up and take it into your house, but if you never unpack those groceries and cook it and eat it, what good is it? It's just the same as rejecting it, that you never, ever even brought it into your home. So God is, you know, he is serious about this, and he's serious about this because he loves us. He said, because you've forgotten my word, I'll forget you and your children. You know, how can I teach someone that will not attend to me? So this year, we want it to be a different year. We want to be a year where we are attending to God and we're attending to the things of God. The wisdom of God is just so important. We want to hear him and hear what he's saying. As we look at just skipping down, I'm just doing a review from the beginning of the lesson. In Proverbs, under the introduction, we still have the word from Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. This is the New King James, and it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Man, it just, you know, as I said, you know, we talked about this. I mean, just go through this passage and just underline all the verbs. I don't know if I did. I underline the verbs in your lesson. Maybe I did. Maybe I did when I went through. I underlined the verbs. But just underline words like receive, incline, apply, seek, search. You know, these are the things that God, that's our work. That's what God is calling us to do. That's our work. And then the promises, then you will understand. Then you will have knowledge. Then he's a shield. And then he guards. And then he preserves. But that comes as we do our work. First is our work, and then this is the promises that God will make for you and your family. You know, and you're guarding the family, you're guarding the children that don't know any better, that don't know to pray yet. But don't you know you're responsible to guard their spirit and guard their soul? You know, I mean, yes, you can set down the house rules and all of that, but I'm telling you, the best way you can guard and preserve your family is be in prayer over your family. That's the best way you do it. Pray over them. You know, guard them that way. So again, you want to just really just examine Proverbs 2 and look at some of the verbs that come in that area. God calls us to prepare. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, but if we never, again, we don't attend to it, how can he impart wisdom to you if you never come and ask? If you never attend to it. You know, I'm telling you, we walk into so many situations every day. Some of you all have meetings scheduled tomorrow. Some of you all have jobs scheduled tomorrow. Have you prepared? Will you prepare? Or will you just rush on out to it? Will you prepare for the meeting? Because I'll tell you, Satan will prepare. He'll be ready for you at that meeting, okay? He's already got somebody set to deal with you at that meeting. But will you be prepared? Will you be attentive to his voice in the early morning hours to hear what he wants to impart, what he wants to whisper into your soul, the wisdom for the day? Lord, let me be prepared. And sometimes the preparation is all about getting your soul and your under subjection, getting your emotions under subjection to the Holy Spirit. That prepares you the best right there. So you don't go flying off the handle at somebody, at a meeting. If you're not in some road rage on the way to work. So again, you need to prepare, because I'm telling you, Satan will be prepared. He'll be ready for you. And then we went into, that was just the introduction, and then the next part of the lesson was knowing this name, the wisdom of God. Knowing what this name is, and our key verse for that section was in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31. It says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. And again, here's the reason. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. And there's so much packed into this scripture that God has united you with Christ, and Christ is wisdom. So he lives within you, so wisdom is in you. And again, you need to attend to the voice in you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that's in you. You need to attend to that Spirit. You need to hear what God is saying. We talked about that only the Creator can create wisdom. And in Christ, he not only sent wisdom to us, but he caused Christ to become the wisdom in us. And that's in your book. And God will stand behind the wisdom that he created. He will. God is so good, because God, when you're wise, everybody is blessed. Not just you, not just your four and no more, but everybody's blessed when you attend to the wisdom of God. And God showed me that just recently. He showed me that. You know, I'm telling you, sometimes I can just get an attitude. I'm just like, I don't do this without you. You know, talking about the work of the Lord too. I'm talking about the work of the Lord. Got an attitude. Talking about the work of the Lord. I don't need people with no faith. I'm just going to do this by myself. You know? Want to just cut people off. Machete time, you know. And God, I tell you, God brought me to the place. God humbled me, honey. God had to humble me, and I had to go right back to the person I wanted to cut off. I just had to go, could you help me with this? Because I need some help. And they were the very person I needed. Very person that I needed. And God showed me something. You know, again, I tell you guys that you cannot defend God. You cannot work for God in the spirit of his enemy. You cannot work for God in the spirit of pride. Because God is loving everybody, because you're going to cut people off. You're going to cut people off. But wisdom comes along. And wisdom will tell you to do things. I mean, I'm glad I was halfway listening to God. Because wisdom kept his mouth shut. So I didn't say too much. Stuff was going on in my heart. But wisdom kept my mouth shut. And it turned out, boy, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't say what I wanted to say. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit said, don't say it. Don't do it. And I'm so glad I listened and I heeded, because it was that very person. I tell you, it was just like Paul and Barnabas back in the book of Acts, Acts 15. When Paul, you know, we talked about the temperaments in this class. We talked about that choleric temperament. Oh, my goodness. And Paul was a choleric, honey. Paul was a strong personality, and he didn't take any mess. It was holiness or hell with Paul. And in the early years, when Paul was first a convert, and he was just so gung-ho for Jesus Christ, and anybody that wasn't gung-ho like him, that kind of shrink back a little bit, Paul was ready to cut them off, and he did. You know, it was John Mark. John Mark was kind of shaky. You know, read the book of Acts. John Mark was kind of shaky. So, and Barnabas and John Mark were cousins. So Paul and Barnabas was trying to defend John Mark, and like, oh no, okay. You want to be with John Mark, with his weak self? Then go ahead, Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas parted ways in the book of Acts. Read it. It's in Acts 15. And that's when Paul hooked up with Silas. Paul and Silas. You hear about Paul and Silas. That's what happened. You know, but later on, it's recorded in the book of Philemon and other books where Paul asked for John Mark. He asked for him because John Mark had a special gift that Paul needed. And I was like, wow, God, you don't cast anybody away. But if we were wise, we can see everybody around us that he's working with. The people you don't like, the people that's giving you a hard time, the people that, you know, God will show you, I love everybody. God had to whisper that in my heart. I love her. I love him. I love them. But God, they just weak, you know? So were you. So was I at one point. One point I was so shaky in my faith. I was shaky. And now I have the audacity to not have tolerance for somebody else. That's the way we are. So I'm telling you. Or people that have different temperaments. You know, some of you cholerics, man, you guys can take the bull by the horns and man, you're going to bring home the bacon. You're going to do everything. And then you have the phlegmatic, the peaceful ones that don't say too much. You know, that may not, you know, have that strength to come up and do that. And we want to shun them and give them a hard time. But those are the ones that will minister to you in those quiet days when everybody's gone, man. Here come that little phlegmatic person, that peaceful personality bringing you a meal, you know, or ministering to you. You know, it's amazing because Paul needed that person that would come and just minister to him. He was dying. He was near death at that point. And that's when he was calling for John Mark. God. And poor John Mark, I mean, boy, I'm sure it was a blessing for John Mark that he saw, yes, I do have a place. I do have a place in the body. I do have something to do here. I may not be on the podium speaking. I may not have the great voice to sing. But boy, I can make a meal. I can love on somebody. You know, I can take care of somebody's child. I can, boy, God, I'm just so amazed at his wisdom. And if you listen, if you hear him, he will whisper wisdom. Don't cast them away. Don't. Keep them close to you. Give them something to do. But I don't know what, give them something to do. Keep them in the house. That's the wisdom of God. Because you never know that the gift, the very thing that you need, is with that person. We went on to talk about salvation and that the wisdom of God is revealing his plan of salvation. We talked about salvation is a plan. It's an ongoing process, which begins with the wisdom to accept him in your heart, then continues with the wisdom to grow in him and obey him, and ends with you in heaven with him for eternity. It's a plan. You're on a plan. Did you understand you're on a plan? Because some of us think, okay, I accepted Jesus Christ and that's it. No. That's just the beginning step of the plan. The plan goes on. And the plan can only go on as you're hearing the wisdom of God on how to grow, on how to be obedient, step by step, bit by bit. We're understanding the plan of God. And sometimes, you know, if you're getting derailed on the plan, you know, again, you need to be spending more time in prayer. If you feel yourself kind of derailed, like, you know, I'm just kind of stagnant. I'm in the same place with Christ this year as I was last year. You should be different. You should be able to look back and see. If you don't journal, journal. You know, guys, journaling is not a women's thing, man. You need to journal. Jot some things down. Jot some thoughts down. You know, because it helps you to go back. You see the date on there and what you were thinking then. And you come back another year, I'm amazed when I go back and I see that I wrote. I'm like, oh my God. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you for growing me up, because I needed Jesus. But it helps you. You know, it encourages you when you see that you're on a plan and you're growing. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4 says this, however, brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, but only as to worldly people, dominated by human nature, mere infants in the new life in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Even now, you are still not ready. Wow, what an indictment. You are still worldly, controlled by ordinary impulses, the sinful capacity, for as long as there is jealousy and strife and discord among you, are you not unspiritual? Are you not walking like ordinary men, unchanged by faith? Wow. For when one of you says, I am a disciple of Paul, and another, I am a disciple of Apollos, are you not proving yourself unchanged, just ordinary people? Wow. That's quite a word from the apostle to the church at Corinth. You know, he heard about what was going on there. Folks, we've got to be on the plan. If you're not hearing the wisdom of God, this is the kind of stuff. This is exactly where we are when we're not hearing the wisdom of God. We've accepted Christ. He's talking to Christians. But all this nonsense is going on with them. I'm a Paul and I'm Apollos. And folks, everybody, if you're a believer, you're of Jesus Christ, period. But here all this stuff was going on that he had to write. So again, we have to understand that we need to grow up. We have to understand the plan of salvation, that you're on a plan and you need to be changing on the plan. The plan needs to be progressing in your life. We talked about the wisdom of righteousness. You must believe that you are now acceptable to God because of the blood of Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things come new. That's from 2 Corinthians 5:17. You must believe. You know, I find out that's one of the big reasons why we're not changing and why we're still the same is that we don't really believe that we're righteous. We don't believe what the blood of Jesus Christ did for us. You know, so you've got to believe. You have to have the wisdom to believe in righteousness. Believe that you were made righteous in Jesus Christ. You are no longer condemned. You know, because some of us, we feel we're condemned. Well, I can't do that because of what happened in my life. What was the good of the blood of Christ if that's where you are? You have to have the wisdom to embrace righteousness. You know, as I said, when, you know, people will remind you of stuff that happened to your life, in your life, and things that happened in your past. Even after you came into Christendom, stuff happened, you know. But I'm telling you, I always say, someone told me one time, tell them to show me the scars. Show me the scars on your hands. Show me. Show me where you died for me. And if they can't show you any scars, then back off, because I'm embracing my righteousness. That's wisdom. It's not wisdom to listen to condemnation. It's wisdom to believe righteousness and the righteousness in the blood of Jesus Christ. The wisdom, we talked about the wisdom of sanctification. And I shared with you all that I didn't like that word, sanctification. It sounded so, you know, lady with her hair in a tight bun, you know, and long skirt. I just sanctified. You know, we just don't like that word, you know. And I didn't like it either. I was like, but then I started to study what this word meant in it. And this word actually means to set yourself apart, to be set apart. That's what sanctified mean. And again, there is a wisdom involved in sanctification. Sin is messy and eventually destroys anything it touches, but as his wisdom calls you to sanctify yourself, you and your loved ones will be safe. So you need to understand the importance of setting yourself apart. And this again goes back to for the good of people around you, for the good of your family. You know, they'll give you a hard time and they'll talk about you. The ones that don't know Christ, they'll give you a hard time and, oh, here comes so-and-so. Y'all better put the Jack Daniels away. Here comes so-and-so. You know, so we gotta, put that cigarette out. Here comes someone's, it happens in your family. But I'll tell you what happens is that you're the one they seek out. You're the one they seek out. Is it not true? I've had that experience, you know, people say all kind of stuff and, oh yeah, here she come. Oh, prudish Karen. Oh, you know, and I'm like, but when they're in trouble, they seek you out. You know, I have a friend of mine, and she said her niece comes to her. Her mother's not a believer, but she is. So her niece comes to her when she has problems because she knows, Auntie, what do you think? Auntie, you know? So they seek you out. They seek you out. There's an importance, there's a wisdom in sanctification. Your sanctification is not just about you. It's not just about you looking all prim and proper and trying to be perfect. That's not sanctification anyway. Sanctification is what the Holy Spirit is actually doing in you, the setting you apart. Yes, he'll take certain taste out of your mouth. He will take certain things that you don't no longer desire. Yes, he will do that, but it's for a purpose. He sets you apart, not so you can show off and look all holier than thou. That's not sanctification. In fact, holier than thou, man, that's a prideful thing. And that is not what sanctification is. Sanctification is simply setting yourself apart, so that people have someone to come to. I believe God sets people strategically in families. He strategically places people at workplaces. He strategically places people in different places to be sanctified, to be the icon of sanctification that the person can come to. And maybe you've had that happen. You know, people come to you and just talk to you, and you're like, I didn't even think you liked me. You know? But they come to you, hey, can we have coffee? Can we talk? And they start pouring this stuff out to you, and you're like, wow, you were the main one talking about me. But there's a reason for sanctification. There's wisdom in a sanctification. The wisdom of redemption we talked about too. The wisdom of redemption leads you to know your identity in Christ. You are now a son or a daughter of God, and the wisdom of redemption will lead you to act accordingly. The enlightenment of his wisdom will cause the voices of your past to be dull to your ears and foolish to your mind. Just again, this goes along with the righteousness piece. Redemption. I'm redeemed. That's not me anymore. You know? But I heard that you used to run with the best of them. Boy, I heard you could party all night. Yeah, I could. Yes, I did. You don't have to deny it. Yes, I did. But man, I've been redeemed. Boy, I heard you used to be a mess, man. I heard you used to be such a drama queen. Yeah, that was me, boy. But Jesus, thank God for Jesus. Jesus really, really showed me some things and really grew me up. You know, so just the wisdom of redemption. You hold to your redemption when that stuff comes. I heard this happened to you and that happened to you. And yeah, it did. But Jesus took, I was on the phone with my family just reviewing the last 10 years. Oh my God, was I on a roller coaster ride. but what God did. What God did, that's the wisdom of redemption and holding to that. Knowing your identity in Christ. I am now a child of the Most High God. I am loved by him. I love that song. He's a good, good father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by him. Oh my God, I love that part. And I'm loved by you. I sing it to him all the time. That's who I am, it says. That's who I am, you know. And I sing that all the time. I have to affirm that in me. That's who I am. I'm loved by him, folks. I'm blessed and highly favored by him. And I'm telling you, if you will declare that in 2017, I tell you, watch what God will do in your life. You know, I tell you, if you will grasp hold, this is such an important lesson. If you will grasp hold of these things, watch what God will do in your life in 2017. The next is the wisdom to to boast in the Lord. And this is also the wisdom of humility. You need to write that in your notes, because I don't know if that's not in your note, but write that. The wisdom of humility. That's the wisdom to boast in the Lord. This aspect of wisdom brings an ongoing humility as you are blessed by God. His wisdom will bring great blessings to you. His wisdom keeps you from ever boasting in yourself, but will keep your head bowed and your voice raised in praise to Him. This is the wisdom of God. I'll tell you, overall, folks, humility is wisdom. Humility is wisdom. You know, as soon as you step into that pride arena, you've messed up. You've messed up. You become foolish, basically. When you start being prideful, you have stepped into the arena of fools. But when you stay in the arena of humility, you stay in the arena of wisdom, you give all honor and glory to God. So we understand a grateful heart as a humble heart. Wisdom and knowledge, of course, are not the same. You need to understand this. Knowledge is the informational side of a matter, whereas wisdom is the practical or operational side of it, the functional side of it, or the purposeful side of it. That's wisdom. A lot of people have knowledge, a lot of intellect, especially this generation, man. We have such knowledge at our fingertips. Knowledge, 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 knowledge. But man, the wisdom, boy, we're lacking in the wisdom. Just go on Facebook. Just go on Facebook and you'll see the lack of wisdom on Facebook. The things that people put up there. So you want to have the knowledge and the wisdom, the operational, the practical, the purposeful side of that. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. When He gave you the knowledge, yes, He gave you the capacity for the knowledge to understand the world and to understand things going on around you, but you need wisdom to apply it. You need wisdom. You need to know when to keep that knowledge to yourself. You need to know when to speak that knowledge at the appointed time. What is that? The scripture says that a word well spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver or something. Boy, and you just have that picture in your mind, how beautiful that is. A word spoken at the right time. Not just blah everything, you know, because you have the knowledge to do it. But again, understanding wisdom. God is not an alien to this earth. Sometimes the enemy makes you think that. Oh, he's so distant. He's a myth. God is not alien to this earth, and he's not alien to you. He is the creator and the owner of it. He knows and understands all that there is about all of his creation, including you and your life. He knows the details, both the ugly and the good details of your life. He knows. In addition to knowing all of this stuff, as we said before, he is the Alpha and Omega. He knows the past and he knows the future. So why would you listen to the words of anybody else over God? Logically speaking, why would you listen? Like parents look at their kids, why would you do that? Look at your kid, you're like, why? Would you drive the car, put the car in reverse, and the garage door is down? That kind of stuff. You know, you're like, I know that's the way we look to God sometimes. Just why? I have told them I'm the Alpha and Omega. I've told them who I am. But yet, they won't listen. Yet, they're distracted. Yet they will not attend to me. They're listening to every other thing and every other voice except to the voice that whispers wisdom and knowledge into their lives. Now we get to where we left off. This next point, it says, He sent and sends his words of wisdom to help us and warn us because he loves us. We live in a world of darkness and danger. Therefore, our Lord sends his wisdom to protect and rescue us. His scriptures declare, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, all of this says is pay attention. Pay attention when you are hearing a word over and over. Often it is the wisdom of God speaking to you. And I love that God will tell you more than once. Yes. I have found in my experience, I said, you know, because he knows I'm dense. You got to tell me twice. You got to tell me, you know, sometimes you got to even knock me down. Sometimes you got to, before I get it.
Yep.
But I thank God that he's faithful. He's faithful to get that word to you. You know, someone once told me, and I believe this to be true, that God will never let you be deceived. If you're deceived, it's because you have decided to turn your back on what he has told you and walk in a different direction. Because he will reach out, especially if your heart is sincere. I heard Joyce Meyer said, you know, sometimes we worry about missing God. Don't worry about missing God. God will find you. You don't have to miss God. God knows where you are at all times. What if I miss him? What if I step out in faith and he knows where you are. But when you decide that you're going to be disobedient, you know it. I can't remember a time where I decided to be disobedient to God that I did not know I was being disobedient, okay? It was in his word. It was crystal clear. And I decided. That's what we do. And it's a hard lesson. And God knows your heart, because some of us try to pretend like we didn't know. We didn't know. God knows your heart. You can fool man, but you can't fool God. He knows your heart. He knows what you know and what you don't know. And he said that he that knows to do right and does it not, to him it is a sin. So he knows. You can't fool him like you fool people. So again, we have to be paying attention, because God will make it clear to you what's going on. The Holy Spirit is very active in the world today. He seeks to impart the wisdom of God into our lives if we would take the time to listen and to seek. Nothing is more important than obtaining the wisdom of Christ for your day-to-day activities. The wisdom of God comes so that you would miss the pitfalls and be under the control of the Holy Spirit. It comes to prepare you for what is coming that day, preparing you for the things you know and the things you don't know that is coming that day. The wisdom of God comes for so many reasons, not just to impart knowledge to you, but to prepare, to help you to avoid pitfalls and to have your emotions in check so that he knows what's coming. Because Sally Sue's coming to start something with you, okay? God already knows that. She's under the control, the influence of the enemy. Billy Bob coming to start a fight. Okay, he already knows that. But if you would hear me in the morning, I would prepare your spirit. I would get your spirit under the subjection of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be ready for Billy Bob when he comes. Your spirit would be at peace. You'll be ready for that pitfall, that question that you didn't expect to come to you. Again, it's so important, folks. It's so critical that we seek his wisdom. The scripture that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We just read that. And the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. Revelation and knowledge. He'll reveal stuff to you. He'll reveal stuff to you about people. They'll be showing an outside exterior, but inside God will show you what's going on in the soul. He'll show you. She's acting like that because she's hurt. She's acting like that because she's insecure. So this is how you need to respond to that. So many times, just the wisdom of God. You know, sometimes we like to get into our rights and how we should be treated. But folks, I'm telling you, when you step into the wisdom of God, all that is, that's done. That's old stuff. Old stuff is passed away. You don't get into how you were treated. You're hidden in Christ now. You know, I've heard people, you know, the waitress that comes to your table and maybe kind of snooty or, you know, and you just want to be snooty back. I want to talk to the manager. Why can't you minister? Perfect opportunity to minister. Leave her a big tip. I hope you have a good day today. You know, she treated you all bad. And leave her a big tip and says, you know what? I hope you have the rest of your day goes much better. You can turn the tide. And the next person she comes to, she'll be kinder to. And boy, it's like a ripple effect. If you would just be who we're supposed to be. If we would just be who, we could change the world if we would just be who we're supposed to be. They zoom past you and cut in front of you. Pray for them. You know, so I have taken that as a signal that God says pray for that person. Because nobody's praying, but you need to be praying. Not, oh, I can't believe it. Just cut in front of me with no signal. Oh, I'm going to cut back the record. Oh, how you could change the world with the wisdom of God. Like, I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray for that person in the red Jeep. I pray for that person driving that red Jeep, Jesus. Oh, Lord, move in their lives right now. They're in a hurry. They're driving recklessly. Lord, I pray. Move in them.
And we never know what's
going on. Never know. All we know is that our feelings got hurt. And that's all that matters. We got to get past that, folks. If you're going to be children of the Most High God, you act differently. You respond differently. You live and walk in the wisdom of God. You live in the knowledge and the revelation. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. What is the hope of his calling? Do you understand what that phrase means? The hope. He has a hope.
Yes.
Of the call. You've been called to him. He has a hope for you, that you may understand the hope of his calling. His calling on your life. That's what that's about. If you would just live in the arena of wisdom. Stop reacting. You will never know the riches of his inheritance outside of his wisdom. And even after you have accepted him, unless you continue to submit to the plan of salvation. I said, you want to know the riches of his inheritance? Sometimes we think riches, we think money, we think stat, we think power. No, there's so much more to it. You know, God is not caught up in all this temporary physical stuff. All this stuff's going to pass away. All this stuff. My goodness, don't we have enough stuff? You know, but what is the riches of his inheritance? It's a spiritual thing. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the temperance, the balance, the kindness. The riches of his inheritance. Thanks. So we come to know the importance of his inheritance. You will never make this life work or make sense of it outside of his wisdom. He'll show us how to make the details of the day and the primary issues of our lives function smoothly and properly. He will show you how to make it function smoothly and properly if you step into his wisdom. Because so many things, if you look at it logically in this world, sometimes it will not make sense. People walked into Fort Lauderdale Airport yesterday and just started shooting people. What kind of sense does that make? It will never make sense. But if you stand in the wisdom of God, he'll show you how to respond in this chaotic, crazy world where things don't make sense. He'll make life work smoothly for you if you live in that wisdom. But if you continue to rely on this world and this world system, boy, you're going to be confused all the time. The apostle wrote about the church. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this, and again, this is always a reason. I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Oh my goodness. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should. Living as you should. You need to underline that line. Living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. And again, boy, what a beautiful thing for him to say. That this church was living as you should in the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. Don't let people deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Again, the wisdom of God. God will tell you. You don't even get into this argument. You know, don't argue with a fool. And I'm like, don't get into foolish arguments. Even if you find yourself a few sentences into a few foolish arguments, shut it down. We don't need to go any further with this. Don't get into foolish arguments, but get into prayer. Walk in wisdom. Live the life. That's your argument right there. Living the life. As he said, living as you should. So you need your strength to stand in Christ is directly linked to knowing his wisdom. And that's why I gave you the words of the song, you know, as I was looking at all the words written by Joseph Scriven back in 1855, these words, and I just wanted to read these words together. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear, griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Hallelujah. I didn't even know all these choruses was to this song. But that last one, yes. One day there will be no need of prayer because we will be with him in glory. So again, and I love the fact that the song is called What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because if you remember John 15:15, it said, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Mm-hmm. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learn from my Father, I have made known to you. That's what a friend does, see? A friend gives you knowledge. A friend will teach you things that you need to have. So we thank the Lord for that. And I know we went over a little bit. Any comments before we pray and close? We're back in it, folks. We're in 2017, ready to go.
When I was listening to what you were saying, every morning when I get up, I said, thank you for your mercy and grace. Mm-hmm. So I humble myself every morning to get under the that anointing, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And as I watch this stuff that's happening in the world, and I said, Lord, I begin to understand when the people out there is under the influence of Satan, we have to realize that Satan is at work, but I'm under your righteousness through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I know who I am in you, not anything that I have done, but all that you have done. So in the morning when I get up, I said, thank you for your mercy and grace that's new every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about the past, and I'm not thinking about the future. Just this day alone. So I was listening to what you're saying. So come in the morning like that, with my heart to God, which I give my heart to God. And you talked about wisdom. That's another thing I pray every day. Thank you for the wisdom. Remind me of the wisdom that is in you. Remind me every day who I am in
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God, yeah.
Thank you, Karen. I want to be able to share a little bit because you brought out the things about praying for our family. I was very blessed, and I've been praying for my family for I don't know how many years. My mother, well, she's with the Lord now, but I'm still continuing to pray for my family. I got to spend, I won't say holiday, Christmas with my sister, my brothers, my family. We had a little bit of a memorial for my mother. She's passed away over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the top of this is a mission to go out, not to do things all the time in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord kept telling me about the mission, even though I've been involved with the music department. The Lord wanted me to do this mission for my family.
Uh-huh.
And it was such a blessing, Karen.
Yes.
It was so amazing for my family. So God is for family.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
It's amazing. I'm hearing a lot of testimonies like that around this past Christmas, that people just did special things for their family and just people around them. You know, my sisters were telling me something they did for our aunts that came to visit, and they made them breakfast and just treated them like queens, you know, for 5 days. They called it the 5 days of Christmas, my sister was talking about. It just did all these wonderful things for them. And my one aunt, you know, she's in her 70s, and she said, nobody has ever done this for me before. You know, made me breakfast, this type of breakfast before. And it was just, my sister said, really? She goes, no, nobody's ever done this for me. You know, and I thought that was just so amazing how, you know, right under your roof, right in your family, you have people that just need ministering, that special ministering to, you know, when you can win them. You know, God will give you stuff to do, you know, so praise God. Praise wisdom, the wisdom of God. Sometimes he's just telling you to do something special for somebody. Wisdom. But they're just, you know, that's just my brother. That's just my, you know, that's just, you know. Yeah.
And I do have even though all my brothers and sisters are special, I have one brother that ran for senator, and he's on the committee for he's going to be a host for Trump and Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And for the Latinos.
Wow.
And also for Mr. Ball.
Wow. Praise God, we got a connection to Washington, folks. So let's pray, folks. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your wisdom, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that you do call us friends, Lord God. So, Father, that we can come before the throne of grace, find help in the time of need, Lord God. That we don't have to be out there isolated. We don't have to be out there banging our head against the wall because we don't know what to do about tomorrow, Lord God. All we have to do is bring it to you, Lord God. So, yes, as the song says, we reiterate what a friend we have. In Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you for being our friend. We thank you, Lord, for imparting knowledge. Lord, I pray for us, Lord God. I pray that we would pay attention. I pray that we would quiet the distractions in our life, oh God, for a moment, Lord God, so that we can hear your whisperings, Lord God. I pray that we would not neglect, Lord God, to invite your Holy Spirit into our day. Oh, Lord, the Holy Spirit is not just something for Sunday, Lord, that we would understand the Holy Spirit needs to be with us every day. And we invite the Holy Spirit into our day, into our meetings, Lord God, into our conversations, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we expect you, Lord, and we are expecting change this year. Oh God, we're not expecting to be the same. Oh God, we're expecting to be different. We're expecting to go up a new level in you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, we pray. Amen.